You're listening to Pirate Radio Podcast.
Cast out to sea.
Hey, Adrian, you old sea dog.
What?
I think it's time to listen to some music.
Pirate Radio Podcast.
Welcome back to Pirate Radio Podcast. My name is Ali.
And my name is Adrian.
And we are doing another Listen to This today. This is part two of our latest series of Listen to This. And this week, Adrian gave me...
It looked like you were teeing it up, but then I wasn't
I was
sure.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay. Listen to...
Pirate Radio Podcast.
This week, Adrian gave me Led Zeppelin's first album, titled Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Is it one?
You could say Led Zeppelin 1 or Led Zeppelin...
Just Led Zeppelin? Led Zeppelin?
Technically, I think it's Led Zeppelin by Led Zeppelin. But,
okay. So self-titled.
It's just okay. Self-titled.
Something I had not heard before.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I heard songs on there before, but yeah. I've never heard them in the way that they're meant to be listened to.
Yeah, yeah. Album, bro.
My first impressions... I listened to the whole album, I think on like a train ride or something, and the whole time I was like just nodding my head going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
just letting it soak in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to
musical prowess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's so, like, actually,
man.
You know, I was obviously remembering bits and pieces here, but then there was things that I didn't know about, and I was like, damn, this... Okay, yeah. Like, I get it. Like, I understand.
Good.
You can't not know a Led Zeppelin song, I feel, by this stage.
No.
Like, anyone in the world, like, has heard at least one.
Like, there's some Hermit in Mongolia, maybe, but... No, I mean, this. Listen to this, like... We've done your favorite artist, which is Tame Impala,
and this is my favorite artist,
which is Led Zeppelin. I can talk about Led Zeppelin until the cows come home, whatever the fuck the saying is. I love them.
Does that have anything to do? Just because I know that you how much you like John Bonham as well,
yeah.
and after this album and hearing like all of what Bonham has to offer this album, it's a lot. Like his drumming is like insanely good.
Man. It's insanely good.
It's so
insanely
good.
Like the speed of his like foot.
Yeah, like the bass. I noticed that. I was like, holy shit.
It's like a machine gun.
To the point where I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because I've never heard a bass drum being kicked like that.
It's like, oh man. Like in terms of his like his skill and stuff, is just no one near him.
But he's not like... Is he trained like classic? Because it doesn't sound like he's like a classic.
Oh, man. Well, that's the thing with like...
Percussion,
John Bonham, he came in like... You're not meant to do it that loud. You're meant to be the drums. Stay in the back. What are you doing?
Yeah.
No, fuck you. I am going to make the drums a lead instrument here.
Yeah,
and basically
it really
show how entertaining drumming can be.
Yeah. But like we probably should dive into them, but like...
We haven't even heard a song yet.
I know, but I didn't realize that they had barely known each other when they wrote this album.
Well, that's the thing. Like, John Paul Jones... A bassist, and basically he was the he's the guy that can play any instrument, you know. He was a studio musician, which is a job that a lot of musicians did, which they go around and do parts in a lot of different songs.
Yeah.
And he was one of those, along with Jimmy Page. And Jimmy Page was one of the youngest studio musicians. Like, you see an interview of him when he was a little kid, and he's being interviewed about like being a studio. He's like, "You're so young. You're like, what was your impression of like coming into this big world and stuff?" And he was like, "Frankly, I was quite disappointed with the skill of the other guitarists." "Well, I thought they'd be better." And like, Jimmy Page is always like, he's a surprisingly shy guy for how
verbose.
Like the things he puts out in the world seem to be. My point is that they
So those two guys
were in like the industry and stuff, and were in a lot of songs like around. You can find them around.
Did they have another band or something?
Jimmy Page was in a band called the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
And that also had like Clapton in it for a little bit, and some of the big Jeff Beck, if you know Jeff Beck.
Yeah, yeah, Jeff Beck.
There's this whole thing with Jeff Beck. But anyway, what happened? I'm like too excited. I'm like, I just want to get all the information out.
This is good information because this is their first album.
So basically, what happened is Page came on to the Yardbirds, and the Yardbirds were like huge in England. They were like one of the leading like blues bands. They did mostly blues songs, and what happened was like it like fell apart for some reason. I forget why, but then Jimmy Page was like, I want to keep doing this. I'm going to make the new Yardbirds, and that's what he kind of called it. Whilst he was going around trying to find people, and he went and like and. I wish I could remember the details, but like he went and like he knew John Paul Jones already. Yeah. He was like, he's known around as like the best, the most precise. Like, you know, let's get him for a band because I'm gonna make a super group.
For the bass, right? Like
it was gonna be a super group. Yeah, basically bass, but he could play anything. He's like on piano, sitar, on whatever the fuck you want to play. And John Paul Jones was easy to find, but then he went and found I think Robert Plant because he was like. People were like, what the fuck's this guy? This guy's got an amazing voice, and he's like singing these like pubs and stuff. And he went and found him. I'm pretty sure the connection because they're both from Robert Plant, the singer, and John Bonham, the drummer. They're both from the West Country, so like kind of you know like country, so kind of black country, I think they call it. I think they just kind of knew each other around there, and kind of came together through that. So. It was a very like communal team. A community in which
that's cool
that they found each other and like but Jimmy Page went out of his way to try and find a super group. So this
but it was to continue the Yardbirds.
Yeah, basically because he finally got in. He's like, finally, I'm in like this big band, then like it all kind of all fell apart.
So then he reconstructed
and
then
like
it.
and an interesting thing, a big part of what happened before. Led Zeppelin was born, was that Cream retired, and people were like, we need a new Cream.
We need Cream. Oh,
it's really important.
Interesting.
So yeah, so that plays into it, where people were like, oh, and like they kind of went that way, but then they went way further.
Further. Obviously, they made it their own.
Yeah.
But
so,
that makes sense. That's a really interesting route. Yeah. Their history.
So, and like, you know, anyway, we haven't even played a song
yet. Let's get into it. But that's good backstory. Then. Yeah. That is good backstory. Okay. Yeah, let's jump straight into it. So the first track is called Good Times, Bad Times.
I know I've had my share.
Let's listen to a bit of that. There's that machine gun, like...
Oh, man, like...
Oh, my God. What a great way to start off and, Led Zeppelin. And,
like, okay, like, there is this thing over this album where, like, a lot of the songs in this album have, like, parts that they borrowed from other people, and that's caused, like, controversy. You might have, like, come across that in your research.
Yeah.
Good Times, Bad Times, I'm pretty sure that one's, like, untouched. That's just, like, purely them. But, like, oh, man, I love the first one, which is In the Days of My Youth... Which could be taken two different ways. Days as in, like, being dazed.
Dazed. Yeah, of course.
And also days. Like, I don't know if that's on purpose, days but I've always been like, I love that double, like, meaning.
That's a good double meaning. And obviously they talk about being dazed later on as well.
Oh, man. And it's just like, it's just, this has been such an empowering band. they give me energy.
I can see. I was gonna say that this is a really strong start to an album as well.
Yeah.
Just generally, like, that, like, the beat, the way it evolves with the cowbell or whatever the fuck is, playing as well. Yeah. And it's like, and it's so simple. It's like, bam, bam. It's like two notes.
Yeah.
Two notes, just bam, bam.
And, like, it hits you like a ton of bricks.
Bam, bam, yeah.
Like,
it's...
Man, when this came out in 1969, like, put this on, that first thing, that's the first thing that hits you.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you'd be like, what bam, is bam. This?
Yeah. No, you can really, like, hear that, even though these guys, didn't really know each other that well, maybe, like, when they first got into this.
Well, yeah, like... I mean, but, like, I think like they got along very quickly.
No, it seems like it. No, you can hear
where,
it.
No, you can see like there's a story of when they first got into like a room together.
Yeah.
And played and just played. And apparently like if I could be anywhere in history, I would have loved to have been there, because it was just them and like
yeah.
And they were just like, this all like comes together
this
so
works
well.
So well, yeah.
Like this is such a powerful thing. Like I forget, I think I like read what Jimmy Page kind of described it.
Mm.
I wish I could remember, but like just like it, like you could feel like the importance in the room, you know, like like this is meant to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you can really hear it. Like clearly they all spoke the same musical language.
Man, man, like
honestly,
you could also this song, like just talk about the actual song itself. You can see the influences. It's very like old bluesy kind of.
Yeah.
Talking about like women leaving you, like a woman left home with a brown-eyed man, and well, I still don't seem to care.
Yeah,
it's just like
I've actually got another bit that I want to play here as well.
I know,
later on the song.
Gets my testosterone up. In a good way.
It's funny because like I can obviously hear the bluesy elements that you really enjoy in this, but I really enjoy like some of the
they're experimental too.
Yeah,
though.
That's
yeah.
it. That's what I really like enjoy as well, is like this hybrid genres in here too.
Mm.
But I'll play a little bit later on in Good Times Bad Times.
You know, if you were to have like a pie chart, like we might see this continuing of like Led Zeppelin songs and what they're kind of about, so much of that pie would just be about fucking.
Yeah,
I was gonna say so
like,
much. I mean, obviously, this is about more than that. It's about relationships
and
stuff.
Yeah. I wanna know though. So, who is the lyricist?
Plant and Page sometimes, I think it's one of those things. It was kind of like it was a collaborative thing, like the
John and Paul kind of thing.
Less obvious than that, I think.
Yeah.
Where I mean, we could look it up.
Oh, I'm just looking up this now. So yeah, so it's Jimmy Page, Robert Plant.
Yeah.
So I guess they just sat there and they just sort of penned out lyrics together and stuff.
Well, yeah. And I'm sure. Yeah.
The singer is Plant. Right?
Robert Plant. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's got an incredible voice.
Incredible. Like,
so unique.
I mean, it is its own, like, instrument in the band. Like,
yeah.
It's
totally.
It, like, I don't know. It fits in there well for me. Like, oh, man.
Well, there's so much, like, power behind it, and it's, like, I don't know. It just sounds like no other voice, too.
No.
And occasionally I can hear, like, those bits, and we'll play probably some bits of this later on, where, like, he just does this, like, there's like call and recall kind of stuff with the guitar. Like he just mimics the guitar's like melodic, like progressions.
I love when he does that too. Yeah.
It's great.
Anyway,
it would have been quite something to see these guys live.
Adrian's losing it right now. I think he's gonna cry.
No, it's just like. Yeah, like it was meant to be an experience. No night was ever the same.
Yeah,
they could go. They never stopped.
Yeah,
they went for like 3 hours longer.
Wow.
Oh man. I wish they did come to Sydney in like 72 or something.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh,
but yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Should we move on to the next track?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, so the next track is called "Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You."
Yep.
Yeah.
and like the fact that so I picked a bit there that sort of after the initial like introduction where it's kind of somber and yeah. like a little sad, like yeah. and then it turns into that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. That is cool. Yeah, that is cool.
I like and you know, listening to this song after like having just broken up with my girlfriend, also really like really interestingly
you know what, I did have that thought.
Yeah,
I thought this might be therapeutic.
Oh, it was. Yes,
yeah,
yes,
cool.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear.
I really did enjoy that. It
was literally about your situation.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because I didn't realize, I didn't pick up on it until like it was really late at night and I was like walking home or something, and then like it's sort of like the lyrics just sort of...
like seeped in.
Seeped in. I was like, whoa, hey, wait.
wait a second
here. I was having that same thought right now.
But yeah, it's a great song. Mm. This one is a rearrangement of a song originally composed by a lady called Anne Breedon.
Okay.
Breedon in the 1950s. But
so this is a cover?
Yeah, it's a cover. Oh. Well, it's not really a cover. That's the thing. The ones in these... once I said, like, some of them, yeah. they should have credited when they didn't. Thus, that whole
That's
thing.
The controversy.
Controversy.
Yeah.
This one, I think they credit, but, like, it's... they change it so much that it's their own thing.
Right.
Because, like, it was originally a song from the 50s. It did not sound like
obviously
the end
not
of that.
Like this.
But, like, their one was a version of a version of that. So yeah,
so it's like a
that's
remix.
The thing where like before I get into like all the different songs and how like the parts in which they might have, you know, caught,
like borrowed,
like, borrowed yeah. or stolen or just played homage to like a big part of like blues and folk music culture was to, you know, like, oh, you did that song, I'm gonna do that song now, play it, have my own version, tweak it a little, how about that?
Yeah.
And that culture's gone away a lot.
Yeah,
and people, that whole copyright stuff.
Well,
like,
yeah, we're lost in bureaucracy.
Yeah, and I think that's overtaken it a bit too much. There's a particular song which we'll get to later, and I'll bring it up then.
Sure.
where they just straight up just stole a song from a dude and made it way bigger than they ever. Lenny would have ever done, but they should have like been like, yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. So that one, like this one, like they incorporated like hard rock kind of elements and electric guitars.
Yeah.
And it's like more than double the length of that. So
yeah, I was gonna say, it almost feels like the beginning part is the song that they might have borrowed from, and then they just riff into their own thing.
I'm perfectly okay with that being
that's fine.
Like this, like, see, we really like this song.
I mean,
this is what we can do with it.
It kind of also makes sense why maybe they didn't think to credit people like at the time, like because it's the 60s and 70s were really different, really open. And
it's a mix of like, yeah, as I said, it's a mix of like, yeah, come on, Paige, just you know, admit
just,
it.
Just yeah, just give us a name.
Yeah.
Give us like a someone to like say, hey, this person helped me write this.
Yeah. Anyway,
should we move on to the next track?
Yes, we should.
Led Zeppelin. All right, so the next track number 3 on Led Zeppelin's self-titled album is called "You Shook Me."
I mean, Jimmy Page is in the contenders for the best guitarist that's ever lived, and you can see why.
Well, yeah, no, that's definitely a good example of why. Yeah, wow, like that sort of song, like definitely.
That
I
one's a much more traditional.
Yeah, like very and very up your alley. The beginning, I was kind of like, okay, all right, like it's not really my type of like track. Like it's a little too like maybe bluesy country for me, but.
It's not country, that's blues. That's blues all the way
blues?
Through.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, yeah. It's like that, that slow kind of like down out, down out.
It gets me out of the bed in the morning. That makes me believe that things can be okay.
So, yeah. But like, I, you know, even though, like, that's my initial thought is like, ah, it's not really my cup of tea. That solo there, like, it brings it back around.
Just you,
like,
wait, there'll be something you like.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, I'm just realizing Led Zeppelin, like, will accommodate.
Yeah. Man.
That's really rare for a band to do that.
Biggest band in the world for a reason. Mm. That one is actually, that's a like a version of a Willie Dixon song.
Willie Dixon.
That one they credited him. They said that he wrote it. Okay. This people don't do that these days, but on old days they used to. The first album, a lot of the time, might be other people's songs.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I feel like people still do kind of do that. Like, even with, like, Black Mountain, like, they had, like, some covers on there.
Yeah, but like, nowadays, there'll be, like, maybe one or two.
Yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't push it past that. Back then,
you're
like...
You're right.
Like,
there was a lot more
like
common.
Stones, when they came out, like, none of their songs were theirs.
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually interesting. Yeah, you're right. People don't do that as much.
Yeah. If you like, I'm just like kind of preempting the fact that, like, after a lot of these songs, I'm going to name another name who wasn't in Led Zeppelin.
Okay,
but that does not take away from the fact of how well these songs have been constructed.
Well, yeah, I mean, an arrangement, a different arrangement, yeah, is a world like of difference. Yeah. Like,
and this is a real, like, this, a lot of this album is what the mind of Jimmy Page saw inside of other songs and thought he could expand on.
Yeah.
And this is what he did. Mm. And, the proof is in what you can
hear.
Yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
Using this as, like, a pilot for, like, what Led Zeppelin could be. This is what, like, I was really excited listening to this album.
Yeah.
Because I was like, damn, like, I'm really going to like whatever comes after. Like, I'm looking forward to, like, whatever else you're going to throw at me in terms of Led Zeppelin albums.
Oh,
and I know how many
There are some, like, obscure ones that I think you might enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good. I was just going to say, how many albums have they made?
Like, eight around.
Okay.
Around eight, I think.
So, when did they sort of officially end?
And when John Bonham died.
Which was...
1980.
Okay. Mm. Man. Do you think they would have kept going if he'd stayed alive?
Maybe, but the thing was, like, Bonham was, like, he was missing his family, he was, like, there's a reason why he drank himself to death, you know?
So the
amount of travel and stuff was really overwhelming for him, like, like, he was just like this, like, his life, oh man, like, he spent all his money on, like, you know, fast cars and, like drank beer all the time and stuff. He's just an old school dude, you know? Like loved his family.
Yeah.
He's like a Homer Simpson of the rock world, you know? and that's kind of, like, but he was away from his family for too long, you know?
This is Dazed and Confused, this track. This is a track that I have heard before.
Man.
And I really like.
It's amazing.
So long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
This track is probably, like, very well known.
Yeah, it's probably one of the, like, biggest songs,
yeah,
especially from early.
From early Led Zeppelin. Yeah, I mean, biggest songs Stairway to Heaven. Like,
yeah, well, but like, that one they would play a lot throughout their, like, lifetimes. Like, Good Times, Bad Times, I think they hardly ever played live.
Mm.
I think maybe like three times.
But that's
like,
probably from like,
it's really
like
rare.
A Yardbirds, like,
yeah,
song, right?
Oh no, Good Times, Bad Times was there, but I'm guessing
they just didn't like playing it live.
As
much, yeah.
Actually, one of the reasons why was apparently, like, John Paul Jones said that riff was, like, his most difficult one he ever wrote.
Right.
So it probably was. He probably kept being like, guys,
can we take
that song out?
Can we just not?
I really regret writing that. My hand hurts. No, but Dazed and Confused is an amazing song. They would play, like, there's like a live album which kind of describes it. I think I might even play it to you once when I was like, when we were hanging out. Like, it's like a 25 minute long song.
Yeah. Oh, you have played this song. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
It's so long, but I love it. Oh man, long drum solo. But yeah, Dazed and Confused is amazing. It's like, I mean, it's the one that was, it was written and recorded by a guy called Jake Holmes in 1967.
Yeah.
The original album credited Page as a sole composer, and then Holmes sued him for a copyright infringement in 2010. And an out-of-court settlement was made the following year, so, you know, he got his money. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he was just like, yeah, I mean, I think that the guy basically said, like, well, like, he made it so much bigger than I was ever going to make it. Just give me half the credit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, but he could go around and be like, you know, that song that everyone knows, I wrote that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it sounds like it's, like, a very honest thing. It's like, look, he used what I had and stood on my shoulders, like...
Mm. So that's the one that I can't defend.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing song. Mm. It's just got so much, like, it's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like dripping with, like, something. It's
dripping,
like,
dripping is a really good dripping word. Yeah. Like, something about that, yeah, like, every element of that song seems to come together to create this, like, melting
feeling. Yeah, yeah. And, like, then it, yeah, through that, like, and he's like, and then it gets, like,
it's actually, do you mind if we play a little later on in the song as well, like, when it kind of, like, when it heats up?
Mate, you never have to ask me. If you want to play this on Led Zeppelin, you just play
it. One of these podcasts, I'm just going to randomly start playing Led Zeppelin.
And I'll be like, good choice.
Okay, good.
Much better than me talking.
All right, here we go. Let's play a little bit later on. Like, he's facing his hand and he's just shaking his head.
Man, just, I love Led Zeppelin.
That's a mind melting little like guitar bit there too.
Yep.
But
man, Dazed and Confused, man.
Do you know what's funny as well? Because obviously, like, with the other LTT episode here, like the Tame Impala thing, like, listening to this album, like, I was like, oh, of course, like, you know, Tame Impala got, like, early Tame Impala got compared to, like, Cream so much. But I really feel like Zeppelin was a huge influence on Parker, man, as well. Like,
Zeppelin was a huge influence on a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah. And you can hear it. Like, there's so much, like, going on there. Like, the guitar, like, is doing its own thing. The drums, like, it's,
oh, man.
The bass, like,
it's powerful.
Yeah, it's really, really good, man. It's, this is
especially, like, if you, like, think about how it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where it goes and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to track number 5, which is called Your Time Is Gonna Come.
Your time is gonna come.
That intro, when that comes in, that whole organ, like, kind of in a big cathedral-y kind of sound, so unexpected for me. I was like, wait, what? Hey, we've been doing this blues thing for a while, and that is kind of bluesy, I suppose. Yeah. But, like, there's something about that intro that almost sounded like, I don't know, like, it was Yeah, it was
its own thing.
Its own thing. Yeah, Led Zeppelin, like it was, man. Yeah, like.
Like the moment where it's, where it kind of like goes to the new
yeah
like oh man it's just so smooth it's so smooth I just love it
it's very seamless.
I'm trying my best like there are episodes of the show where like I like don't like a thing enough and I struggle I'm struggling with this because I like it too much. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to say
Adrian
it.
Adrian lives in extreme opposites. In polar, polar world.
You're really getting into my mind here.
He either likes it or he doesn't like it. Yeah. And both of those are hard places to be in.
It's difficult. It's difficult being me.
No, but like, you know, that... All the blues influence, like... what I'm curious to hear is like where they go... later on in their discography, and like at what point do you sort of go like, oh well, like, because you know clearly they keep their influences,
yeah,
clearly like it's all the undertone, like I've heard other Led Zeppelin songs, I know
I remember hearing Robert Plant say once is like they liked the blues but they wanted to like reinvent the blues. So they wanted to reinvent the music that they liked and create something new out of it. And really, they almost, not single-handedly, but they helped make heavy metal, like proper, like not heavy metal, like, you know, heavy rock, basically.
Well, like, in attempting to do something else, they did create something.
But saying that, like, you know, like, they get called a heavy, well, they used to be called a heavy metal band, but that's misleading now. It's a heavy rock band. Listen to that song.
Yeah.
That sound like a heavy band to you?
No, exactly.
they could do the quiet as well as the loud.
I think that's what makes Led Zeppelin probably so so good and so like universally like recognizes the fact that they're very adaptable, very versatile.
Yeah, fair.
And you know, this track and then also the next track really surprised me. Like they really like it was like. Because, you know, here I was thinking, like, oh, okay, we're getting into, like, the first album of Led Zeppelin. I'm sure it's all going to be really, like, of the same sound. Mm. But then this track was like, oh, wow, like, this is still bluesy, but, like, it just, it, the boldness to, like, just have this long, like, what is it, like, almost like a minute long, like, solo with an organ. Like, it's like, that's great. That's
you gotta be confident in your craft to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they were good enough.
Yeah, and like, yeah, they clearly were all very talented musicians too. But this song, when it can we play a little bit more of it?
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those songs that like just matched that really synced up with my breakup like quite well.
I'm glad to be helping you.
Yeah. Hey, musical healing just is always the best. Just need a bit of the zap. A little bit of zap, yeah.
What you say, cause I'm gonna wear a snake, gonna make you pay for that great big hole in my heart. People jumping all around, watch out woman, no longer is it you're gonna be on my heart. You've been bad to me woman, but it's coming back home to you.
Time is gonna come. Yeah, like, oh man, that the like you can just so it's so clear, you can hear the guitar just perfectly being played.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, also another thing which like Jimmy Page is very good at,
yeah,
he's very good at mastering his stuff in terms of like. Very good at producing his music.
Yeah.
Because he knew how, like, important it was.
Well, he was, like, if he was a studio, like, musician, that makes a lot of sense. He knew how important,
like, a great song can be shit if you do the wrong things in the studio.
100%. Yeah.
And you can really see how clear, especially, like, I mean, this has been remastered from, like, 2014.
2014, yeah.
But, like, you know, like, you can still see, like, how crisp everything was.
Yeah, like, I was curious to listen to, like, the original... Because, you know, obviously, like, this is from the 60s. Like, that's a, you know, like, it's interesting to, like, listen to something like Zep and then, like, the Beatles as well, which also have had remasters, like, in the, you know, like, 2000s. And listening to, like, I've listened to the Beatles, like, you know, prior to stereo, like, their mono, like, vinyl recordings. And you can hear, like, they're trying to layer things that you just can't do with mono.
Yeah.
That, you know, Zeppelin obviously, like, are doing the same sort of stuff. Like, especially with this next song. Actually, this is probably a good introduction to get into this. Because this next song, Black Mountainside, does kind of, like, tack on to the end of Your Time Is Gonna Come.
Well, that's the thing. It's a nice little...
It's got that nice little, like, transition point,
That was a huge thing. Like, I think some singles were sold in the US, and that might have been against Peter Grant's idea, or maybe Peter Grant wanted it, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, like, the band, a huge thing was they didn't want to just come up with singles.
Yeah.
They wanted the album, they wanted albums to be sold. And because they decided to do that, everyone had to go out and buy the whole album, so they heard every song.
Good.
And that's how it's... That's good. That's how you do it.
It is how you do it, like, you know...
And, like, and having these kind of transitions and things through... That's fantastic that, listening through a vinyl.
Did they do that more, like, in the later albums? Because I noticed this is, like, kind of the one significant time that it happens.
I'm not sure off memory, maybe.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's listen to Black Mountainside now, actually. This is clearly very.
I mean, it starts showing you how versatile these. And these influences.
Was that sitar being played?
Probably. That's probably John Paul Jones. I'm pretty sure it is.
There's definitely like a an Indian percussion element there. That's no normal drum set.
No. It's based on a like an arrangement by Bert Jansk on a traditional folk song called Down by Blue Up Waterside.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They did that a lot, like, you know, like what's it called? When the Levee Breaks.
Yeah.
A huge great song. That's originally a folk song. Really? Yeah, so like they loved just being like, what can we do with this?
I like that. Yeah. That's that always, like,
it's real experimentation.
It takes a little, like, creative, like, you know, ambition to try to, like, take something and turn it into something new. So like, this is 69, this album, right?
Yeah, it came out in 69.
So this, like, the Indian, like, almost influence here, like, reminds me of like Sgt. Pepper's, which came out in 67, where it's like they had a whole track that had this sort of, like, just Indian thing going as well. And you can tell that this is a 60s album, because, like, all of a sudden, like,
all that's
this,
all, like, the rage.
Yeah, it was all the rage. Like, that Eastern spirituality, like, was, like, really seeping in. I just didn't expect to find it on Led Zeppelin's, like, first album. I didn't expect to find that sound also there embedded.
Especially after that, really. It's like you just think these guys are a blues band. They're more than a blues band, man.
No, I know, but I just didn't expect it on their first album. First album would just be like, we are a blues band. Like, do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but.
No, clearly not. clearly, they hit the ground running, which I'm glad. I'm really glad. Because I did dig this album a lot, and I was trying to, like, tell you, like, before we
recorded the pod. You did like hint it.
I kept putting out little hints, like,
I'm really enjoying this. And I'm so glad you are.
Yeah.
I'm constantly astounded more people aren't as into Led Zeppelin as I am. I'm like, they're amazing, what are you doing?
And in those, like, instances where I see people, like, say something about Led Zeppelin, your eyes light up. I'm like, oh, there you go. There you go. There's another one. You found another one.
Go get him, boy.
Yay!
I'm like a dog playing at a park. That's how I act when I meet other Led Zeppelin fans.
That's true, actually. let's move on to the next song here, because there's not much else to Black Mountainside.
No, it is a fun little Indian romp. Whoa.
Sorry about that. It's just me shooting up the place. Communication Breakdown is the next song. Let's play a bit of that now. Communication Breakdown. It's always the same. Having a breakdown. Driving insane.
communication
breakdown.
Yeah, man. So this is one of the more like, you could see this on the radio kind of songs.
Yeah, yeah. I heard this one was like a Yardbirds one originally.
Oh, yeah.
That they sort of took on, like, for the LP.
But, man.
It's still great. Like, they add their own, you know, touch to it.
It's fun. It's a fun song.
It is a fun song. A lot of energy. And yeah, you're right. Like, I guess it's one of the more, like, easily accessible ones.
Yeah. Like, Communication Breakdown and probably Good Times, Bad Times are the most, like, radio friendly out of it.
Did they play this one though, like, live?
Communication Breakdown?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Probably.
Yeah. But I just found it interesting they didn't play Good Times, Bad Times, because that's a great song too.
Yeah, it's a great song. Well, they did, apparently, just not a lot. But yeah, I mean, it's Led Zeppelin. I mean, like, I'm doing the Tame Impala.
It's Led Zeppelin. It's Led Zeppelin. Like, it is. I do find it interesting that, like, this being their first album, they seem to already know who they are and what their sound is.
Oh, man. So, for, like, the first part of this, like, we're talking about Tame Impala and stuff, and that has a singular voice, and that kind of keeps it going in a similar direction. Led Zeppelin had the voice of Jimmy Page, and Jimmy Page kept it going in the same area. Mm. Obviously, he collaborated with the other people around him.
Yeah.
But it's definitely Jimmy Page's band.
Yeah,
so he knew where he was going.
And everyone was happy to
go. Or where he wanted to go.
Well, and he's the one who assembled everyone, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense that they respect him for that.
Mm.
Like, they knew that he got the best that he knew.
Mm. And plus, he's just so talented.
Yeah.
So, like, that too.
Okay, well, that's Communication Breakdown. So I guess that's, like, that's something a little more poppy, I'd say.
Yeah, for
Led Zeppelin standards.
Yeah, like, for back in 1969, yes, that is pop.
But the next track, I Can't Quit You, Baby,
is
definitely back to that sort of...
Also another Willie Dixon cover.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I Can't Quit You, Baby.
I can't quit you, baby. So I'm gonna put you down for a while. I said I can't quit you, babe. I guess I got to put you down for a while.
Oh, those roly poly tumbly. Oh, right. Those fucking roly poly like drums.
Yeah, I mean,
I love them so much.
Man, that's a powerful song. Mm. I mean, that's old school again. One of the like,
yeah. You can really hear that.
Oh man, but just like, oh man, I love it.
Yeah,
I love the
breathing room in these songs. Like, you can hear like the, obviously they like this genre because it gives them enough room to sort of just, like, improv their own. Yeah, like, yeah, just...
Well, that's the thing. That's why I love blues so much and stuff. It's so simple.
Yeah.
That it gives you such a solid base to build from. Mm. That, like... It's some of the, like, I've heard blues songs which is just, like, a guy's voice.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. Like, man...
Yeah.
I love that.
Adrian's flustered.
This is why I haven't done Led Zeppelin. Keep it together when it's not Led Zeppelin.
But yeah, this again, this song, like, this is a Willie. What was it?
Willie Dixon.
Willie
cover.
Dixon cover. Yeah, what was the other song that was Willie Dixon?
The other one was.
Was it "Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You"?
You Shook Me.
You shook me. There's a lot of instances of the word babe in this album, I noticed.
Yeah, you said a similar thing about Greta Van Fleet.
I did too. Yeah. Lots of babe, yeah.
They used to do it more.
I actually, when I hear babe in songs now, I'm like, ew. But when I hear old it in school. Like songs like this, yeah, like, well, yeah, it's like,
people,
oh yeah.
People say that.
Babe, yeah.
Like, it's like someone now saying, like, radical. You're like, what? People don't say that anymore.
People don't say that anymore.
But you hear someone saying radical back then. You're like, yeah, people said that.
Yeah.
I was gonna play another part of this song because it sort of like gets a little.
No.
It goes somewhere else. I know you are my one desire. I just like it gets really, really like bombastic for a bit there, and like sort of, and then it comes back so like cleanly, like in just so quietly, like yeah.
Why do you think I like this band so much?
Yeah, I get it, Adrian. I definitely get it, and I'm looking forward to like more. I'm almost like, because I was, after listening to this album like a couple of times, I was like, fuck, I should go listen to some more. But then I was like, I stopped myself short. I was like, no way, I kind of wouldn't mind like doing this, like, you know, I might listen to tracks, but I won't listen to whole albums. No, just because I want to save it
for the show.
Yeah, okay, I really do. Because I want to talk to them about, you know, to you about like other Zeppelin albums as well. Yeah.
I'm going to eventually. Yeah. It might be a bit of a break, but you know.
Yeah. No, of course. All right. Well, we've hit. This is the last track. This is track 10. How many more times is the last track? It's an 8:30
track.
Wow. Okay.
Man. And yeah, I mean, I've got a like a full paragraph I'm going to read out about this song.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well,
just getting the nitty gritty of how we make this show.
All right. Well, let's play a bit of it now.
All right. It was the group's closing live number for a lot of their early career. They put it on the album. They must like it for that reason.
They must like it as like an ender. Yeah.
It was improvised around an old Howlin' Wolf number. Howlin' Wolf's one of my favorite blues musicians. Called "How Many More Years," and a page guitar riff, which develops simultaneously into a jam session. The track includes a bolero section, which is like a Latin kind of music, which if you listen through, you'll hear.
Yeah, I think we'll get back to that.
And segues into "Rosie" and "The Hunter," which were improvised during recording.
What does that mean?
You know, and they call me the Hunter.
Yeah.
It just keeps on like going to these different sections. There's even the part where Paige plays the guitar with a violin bow. In the middle.
Oh, do you know what that is?
Which he does in Dazed and Confused as well, I mentioned. But yeah, very interesting. He wasn't the first to do that, but he was the one who made it like huge.
Yeah.
It's like how Michael Jackson wasn't the first to, you know, moonwalk, but...
But he's remembered for it.
Yeah.
The songwriters, it says all of them here. So yeah, must have really just spawned out of a jam.
Yeah, just a jam session.
Interesting. Cool. Well, let's play a little bit later on, because this is an 8-minute song, so I think it deserves a little more attention.
Yeah.
What's a good part? But you can really hear that this definitely came from a jam.
Yeah,
like it just changed all of a sudden. Like it was like, you know, like you could hear Bonham just start a new beat, and then like,
and then the other guitars just follow.
Like yeah. That's awesome. I love that. It also makes sense why it's maybe a closer. Like, you want to have like a closing in like a live, you know, set,
and
to be something
I'm
long
sure they played around with
fun.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Something that you can still keep being fluid with.
Mm.
And know quite well. So yeah. I'm sure they would have known this one quite well. It's interesting to me, like, when bands have like a muscle memory. Like, I remember someone was telling me, I don't know, it wasn't someone telling me, it was Anthony Fontano who was like talking about this guy Anthony. He was talking about how he
sorry,
that's alright. So Anthony Fontano was talking about how he recently went to go see King Gizzard play live, and he was like talking about how it was strange because they seemed so chill, so casual with the way that they were playing, even though playing like some really high energy stuff. Like, he's just looking at the drummers and they're just like, you know, like just playing with like, and they look so neutral. Like, they were just like in like a place where they were just almost like just lounging.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's, you must know a song so well
yeah.
to be able to just like chill. Let your body just like do it while you're just there sitting like chilling. Like, it, and you can tell with any of these sorts of like jams that like these bands probably came up with, like, it just gets ingrained in you. Like, you know, you just know it after a while. I mean, I don't know, like, did... Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Well, this isn't Led Zeppelin, but, the Stones got to a point where they would screw up on purpose just to see what the other guy would do in order to, like, see what he would do to, like, fix it.
That's good.
Yeah, like bands get good at their songs. they have to keep on replaying them.
I like that.
But, yeah, you wanted to play one more bit.
Yeah, I want to play one more bit towards the end here. Just because, yeah, it's a very long song. It's probably, is it the longest on the album? Yeah, I think it is, yeah. 8 minutes. Okay. The other long, the Days and Confused is the next one. Yeah. Let's play a little bit later on.
Came in and like just took a position that Cream kind of left and then like built on it like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're my favorite band.
And I do get it. I really do. Yeah. I'm keen for more. I'm really keen for more. So like, I know you said you want to take a bit of a break before we sort of get more into Zep.
I need
even just after this one, like,
I've probably forgotten things and probably got some information wrong, and I'm going to hate myself forever for doing that, and I'm probably going to be like 60 years old and I'll listen to this episode again and I'll be like, you fucking idiot.
Look, you know, you've got 7 more albums to clarify.
I might even got that number wrong. But anyway, okay. Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking Led Zeppelin.
Thank you for showing me Led Zeppelin.
Alright, well, I had a nice time.
I had a nice time too, and I'll see you on the next pod, Adrian. Will I see you there? Yeah, I'll see you there, right?
No.
That's all we've got time for, folks.
That's been Pirate Radio Podcast.
Pirate Radio.